if you would stand, we'd like to welcome you to Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple. I'll read from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." I'm so thankful that he was received up again. Brother Marcus, will you open us in a word of prayer, please?
Amen. Number 227 in your hymn books, if you need it. 227, saved by the blood.
Saved by the blood of the crucified blood. Now ransom from sin and a new word begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood.
Stand one more time if you would, please. Number 185 if you need it. 185, My Savior's Love.
To be the King
Pressure it can take.
How many times around the wheel till there's submission to His will? He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay. The potter knows the clay. Friend, I just came through that fire not too very long ago, and looking back I can see why, and that my God was in control. But on the hottest days I'd cry, oh Lord, isn't it about time? But the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times round the till there's submission to His will. He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay. He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay.
Well, amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house today and to be together. Sure, praise God for that. I'd like to have the Marinos come for just a minute. Some things that were on the docket for last week that got pushed back as we had to leave really quick and unexpectedly. But the Marinos just celebrated 2 years here at Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple. And I'm thankful to have them and thankful for the work that they do. And we like to acknowledge them by giving them checks, hugs. Love you guys. Thank you very much. We're sure grateful to have them, and we're thankful for all that God's done with them and to see their families increasing. That's going to be a blessing. We'll grow the church one way or another, right? And so if you want to get on board with that, just jump right in. That'll be awesome. And then, Brother Branson, would you mind coming down for just a minute? Brother Branson is getting ready to go back to college. And we kind of help our kids as they go to a Christian school. And Brother Branson's going back to Pensacola and get another semester of training. And we'd ask that you pray for Branson, that God would continue to lead in his life. And you can tell he's a handsome guy, so he probably has to fight off tons of women and all that kind of stuff. And we want him to be wise in all that he does and just serve the Lord. And so you be praying for Branson as he heads back later this week. He'll be headed back to school, so please be praying for him. We love you, buddy. Amen. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I would like to say thank you so much for your kindnesses to us. Last Friday, my wife went to Clay Center to the hospital where her dad had been for almost a week. When she got there, about 1 o'clock, we did a FaceTime with a doctor that came in, and I just felt like I needed to get on up there and be with her, and so glad I did. And many of our family from close by came up to be there at the hospital at that time. And then Saturday, it kind of looked like Dr. Fuller had stabilized and things were going to be okay. So we waited and then got home, I think, about 6 o'clock that night and ready for Sunday. I was still battling a cold, so I had asked Brother Krotz to preach for me. And he, knowing that he was going to be leaving, by the way, they made it back to Papua New Guinea. So we praise God for that. And they did that without being vaccinated, so it can be done. But we sure praise God. They're back home serving God and excited. I think that Miss Alice was telling me that they were going to be enjoying the sea breeze today, about 70 or 80 degrees and sea breeze. So there is sometimes, you know, like when it's -2 or so, I'd like to enjoy a sea breeze also. But I don't want to be over there at 100 degrees because I've done that. It's no vacation. But thankfully, the Krotz is made back. Brother Krotz was here to preach for me. And so we got a phone call about 3:30 from Mrs. Fuller, that Brother Fuller had gone to heaven. And so, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer. We just got up, packed, and got out of town and drove back to the farm and took the week to be with Mom, make the arrangements and all that was involved there. Had a great funeral on Friday. Some of you attended. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for the cards and letters that we received, the texts, gift cards, things like that. Those things are just priceless. Just knowing that you care is a priceless thing at that time in life. We had a great service Friday. I think there was over 300 people when we went out to the little country cemetery. And we're talking little country cemetery. The cars just kept coming in, just one after. I bet you we had over 200 people out the cemetery. And Jeremiah preached. He's one of my favorite preachers, did a great job there. And so we praise the Lord that Dr. Fuller's not in the grave out there. Amen. He took his last breath here. He stepped into the presence of the Lord. I really liked how Jeremiah started his thing out there at the cemetery. He said that he was always in awe of his grandpa because his grandpa opened his letters with a sword. And he had one of these letter openers that looked like a small sword. And so he always used that to open his letters. And Jeremiah said, man, I was just so impressed with that. And he goes, when I get a letter, he goes, I just rip it open because what I wanted was on the inside. And the envelope, you know, just really didn't mean a lot. It was what was on the inside. And he said, today we stand here at Grandpa's envelope, and we're just putting that in the ground. What matters is in heaven. And so we thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your love. And it's good to be home. I love looking out here and seeing your faces, and you're all pretty much in your spots, so it's not, you know, flipping my mind out like, oh, where are they? Where are they? Where are they? So I do appreciate being able to be home. We appreciate your prayers. We love you very much and thankful for that. So this has been kind of a weird year so far. We started out the first service of the year closed because of weather, and I came to you from my dining room and the kitchen area of our house, and we talked about fear not, and of course the banners, fear not, and those verses, we'll preach some of those this year. Our key verse is Luke chapter 12 and verse number 7, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. And so that's our theme for the year. And, you know, our world is in fear. I mean, they're in constant fear. And we as the children of God, we don't have to live in fear. We serve a greater power, and we know what the future holds. And so we don't have to live in fear. So today I want to preach a message to you entitled, Death Has No Victory Over the Child of God. Death has no victory over the child of God. In Luke chapter 12, we're going back to verse number 4 through verse number 7. And there we read, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that hath no power that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. We thank you so much for the wonderful music that we've been able to enjoy this morning, the choir and the great work that they did. We thank you for that, the specials today. Lord, thank you for the hymn writers through the years that wrote songs with meaning, and how we were able to learn more and grow closer to you just by listening to the music that was sang today, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you for the opportunity to be in a nice warm building in the midst of a cold January here in Kansas. You've been so good to us to give us a good facility to meet in. We thank you, dear Lord, for taking the crops home safely. And what a blessing it's been to have them here over the last 6 months or so. And now to know that they're back home where you've called them, and Lord, that know that they were excited to get home and to be used of you. We thank you for that. And we thank you for the ability to love one another and the way the church loved on us, the passing of Brother Fuller. We just thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you to know that we need not fear death, that Brother Fuller's not in some cold grave today, but he's in heaven with you. The moment that he quit breathing here, he went to be in your presence. And God, we thank you for those promises. I pray that you would meet with us today, God, and that you might be honored and glorified through the preaching and teaching of your word. We'd ask these things in your precious and most holy name. Amen. Amen. So, let me get a drink. I still get this scratchy thing. I apologize for that. But hopefully it's not going to be a problem. We're not going to let the devil get the victory over that. So my first point is this. Be not afraid of death. There in verse number 4 it says, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not," and I'm just capitalized, "afraid. Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more power that they can do. But I will forewarn you of whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." You know, we're living in a time that if we're not careful, I think we might see persecution of Christians in America. I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime, but I'm telling you, if our society continues to slide the way that it has, I think that there's a point out there where Christianity becomes unpopular. And then I think there will become a point where Christianity will be despised. And at that time, there will be those who hate Christians. And it will be open season on Christianity. And you say, "Oh, I don't think that will ever happen." Well, it's happened all around the world. You realize there's still Christians today becoming martyrs, right? There's still Christians around the world that are paying for their belief in God with their own lives. So you need to ask yourself, how much do I love God? Listen, if we love God, we ought to love Him to death. We ought to love Him to the point that we go to be with Him. We ought to love Him that much. Because He's made us some precious promises as we consider the Word today. So Jesus is speaking to His disciples and He says, be not afraid. You know, the argument is made clear, I think, in Romans chapter 6. You can turn over there with me, Romans chapter 6. And verse number 15, it says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Man, what a great scenario is being carried out here. You know, the discussion is, should we continue in sin? There's a lot of Christians today that, I say Christian, I'm going to put them in air quotes, okay? There's a lot of Christians today
people who claim to be saved, but they don't want their life to be changed. They don't want to allow the Word of God to do a work in their life. And so what they do is, as they read through the Bible, they excuse away the parts that they don't want to apply. Can I tell you, that's not the type of Christianity the Bible wants us to have. The type of Christianity we ought to have is that I read the Word of God, that I read it and I study it, and then I apply it in my life. I don't try to reason it away. I don't try to explain it away. I don't try to come up with some way that, you know, me and it can coexist. I can live in sin and I can live in the Word, and you know, that's going to be acceptable in the sight of God. That's not the way Christianity is supposed to operate. The way Christianity is supposed to operate is seen in verse number 18. It says, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. So before I got saved, I was the servant of unrighteousness. Anybody else? Yeah. I served the unrighteous. I served the god of this world. I served the flesh. I served those things. But when I asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, I became the servant of righteousness. So, just very easy here. Let's say that unrighteousness is mud. You look at my vehicle right now, you drive by it, you'll see that I've been to the country. Okay? It's pretty evident. I like going to the farm, but it's the 3-4 miles of dirt I don't like. Okay? And I'm telling you, all week long, until the storm came, it was loose dirt. Loose dirt makes lots of dust. And so you're going down the country roads. If you've never done this, you need to get a little country in you, okay? You go down the country road, and what happens is that dust begins to roll behind you. I kind of like it. Woo, look at that dust rolling back there. And it rolls and it rolls, and then you stop. And it covers you. Amen? And so you're up and down the country roads, dust covering you, meet people, dust covering you. I mean, it was thick on my vehicle. Thick, thick, thick. And then it got wet. You know what happens to dirt when it gets wet? Well, of course we do. It becomes mud. And so it sticks even better. And so the dust that was on the car became mud. And as you drive down the road, the mud sticks to the car. And so all of a sudden you're driving a big mud clod down the road. Can I just say that my car out here today represents the way I was before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? The dirt of the world was all over me, and I liked it. I liked it. I chose it. I pursued it. I wanted it. It made me feel good. It made me feel empowered. I enjoyed the sin of the world. Why did you leave it? Because I met Jesus. The Bible tells us when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we change ownership. We change ownership. The problem is today, too many Christians don't want to change ownership. They want to continue on in the way of the world. They want to continue on in unrighteousness. Oh, they try to come with all their excuses. Oh, well, you know, today in year 22, it's okay for Christians to drink. You know, most church charters state that we're supposed to withhold ourselves from intoxicating drink. Yeah. We enjoy the dirt of the world. What's wrong with a little R movie? What's wrong with a TV show that sits there and cusses at me? What's wrong with going out and enjoying the things of this world? Well, listen, you've been bought with a price. And the Bible says that we were dirty with the world and unrighteousness, but now we are to be the servants of righteousness. So just the way I served myself and just the way I served sin, now I need to seek to serve Him. That's why we have the Bible. To help us to know how to serve Him. Can I just say, we didn't need a book to teach us how to serve ourselves, did we? Just be around some babies always amazes me. They can be selfish. They can be mean to one another. It's just a natural thing, right? And so that was natural. So now that I'm saved and I'm to become a servant of righteousness, it's going to take some work. It's going to take me being in the Word. It's going to take me reading the Word. It's going to take me studying the Word. It's going to take me meditating on the Word. And it means that there's going to be times I'm going to have to get on my face before God and say, God, I need to change this and I can't do it myself, but I can do it with your help. Before I got saved, I cussed like a sailor. When I got saved, it wasn't long before the Holy Spirit picked that one out and said, you got to stop that. He said, but I like using those words. You got to stop that. So I started this process. Every time I'd say a cuss word, I would immediately pray and say, God, would you forgive me for saying that word? If you'll start that process, it's amazing how much it'll help you. And so then I got to where I didn't say them, but I thought them. It's the same thing. So then I would begin to pray, God, forgive me for thinking that word. I don't want to think that word. I don't want to think that. I don't want to be a servant of unrighteousness. I want to be a servant of righteousness. God, cleanse me. Help me. Identify things I need to change in my life. And God, by your grace and your help, I'm going to change those things. Become a servant of righteousness. And that's not even the message, but it's pretty good preaching right in there. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And so the way you used to chase after sin, we had to turn and chase after God just like that. Just like that. Some of you, probably before you got saved, you couldn't wait for the weekend to get here because it was going to be a party all weekend long. You couldn't wait for it. You saved your money. You saved whatever you needed to save so you could party the weekend away. Well, guess what? Now we'll say, you know what? I'm going to serve God this weekend. I'm going to save my money so I can serve Him. I'm going to save my energy and my time. I'm going to invest it in serving Him. Just the way I used to serve the world, I'm going to serve Him. Mrs. Parrott, I used to love Mrs. Parrott, sat right over here. And she was just such a sweet lady. Of course, buried her, was it a year ago, a year before, 94 years old. And she told me of her first husband, Manville. And she said, Manville was a wicked man. It's pretty hard for a wife to say of a husband, I think. He was a wicked man. He lived for himself. He played music and hung out the joints and all that went along with that. He was a wicked man. And she said, I prayed for him. And I prayed for him. And I tried to live a godly life before him. And finally, somewhere in his 40s, 50s, Manville accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he told her one day, they were getting ready to go to church. He said, we're going to church today. And she goes, you have changed, Manville. What has happened? He goes, well, I just determined as much energy as I used to serve the devil with, I'm now going to serve God with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the way it ought to be. You say, well, I never served the devil. I grew up in church, and 9 months before I was born, I went to church. Well, that's okay. You still shouldn't serve the devil. Right. You ought to say, hey, I've got to jump on top of others. I mean, I'm light years ahead of them because I don't have a past to live down. And I don't have those desires and those longings. Those things are far behind me. I've never experienced them. And so you're light years ahead. You're kind of standing on the shoulders of others. And you just need to go on and serve God. Just imagine how you can serve God in relationship as a second or third generation Christian. Verse 21 says, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." What was the fruit of it? What was the fruit of going out and partying hard all weekend and wasting your money and riotous living and living for yourself and selfishness? What was the fruit of it? Because he said, those things end in death. There's no hope there. There's no hope. They end in death. Verse 22. "But now being made free." Oh, that's a great word, isn't it? "Being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and to the end everlasting life." I'm thankful for everlasting life because it means just that. This right here, what I'm doing now, we call life. One day, when this body gives out, if the Lord doesn't come in the rapture, if this body plays out, it gives up. I'm still living. I'm just changing address. Oh, and for the final time. Isn't it going to be good to live someplace so you don't have to worry about a leaky faucet? A drafty room? A furnace that doesn't light and start? I'm telling you, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And to be honest, I'm kind of envious of those who have already gone. I mean, I'm not on the bus ready to go, but if God takes me, I'm ready to go. Why? Because it's going to be a wonderful place. It's going to be a wonderful time. And I've got life everlasting. And when this life is over, I continue to live. Continue to live. Oh, by the way, you never accept Christ, you're going to continue to live. Bible says of the rich man who fared sumptuously every day that he awoke in torment. So life never ends. It's just a change. It's a change from the physical as we know it to the spiritual. It's a change from here I am on this earth, you see me, to my envelope is in a box and I'm going to live in one of two places. I'm either going to go to heaven or I'm either going to go to hell. I'm either going to go rule and reign with Christ or I'm going to go to be worm food. My body's going to be worm food and I'm going to go live in eternal torment. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, final part of this argument today, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I love that conjunction. I love that I know what a conjunction is, being the English scholar that I am. I'm glad I can go, that's a conjunction right there. You know, like Ann is a conjunction. And Bobby and Joey and Susie, and I like those conjunctions. But this one is an exciting conjunction because it's pointing out the bad, the wages. The payment for sin is death. Can we just say that that's not just a physical death? But it will be an eternal death, an eternal dying, an eternal punishment. But here comes that big word. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Woo! Man, you mean that here I am, in this dirt of sin, in this dirt of immorality, in this world of hopelessness, and I can ask Jesus Christ to become my Lord and Savior, that I don't have to pay for this sin, that I don't have to worry about eternal punishment, but Jesus Christ did something for me that changed my eternity? Oh yeah, He did. He put in that conjunction, but. He gave us a gift, the gift of eternal life. Listen, child of God, listen, sinner, here today, I want you to know, whether you're a child of God or a sinner, you need to know for sure where you're going to spend eternity. You can know, you can know, you can know. I get tired of going out and talking to people and want to talk about spiritual things Then you go, so if you were to die right now, do you know you would go to heaven? Well, I hope so. You can know so. You can know that you're saved. You can know that heaven's your eternal home. By the way, can I just say, let others know while you're alive. So we don't gather someday at your envelope and go, I wonder where he's at. I wonder where he's at. That was the great thing about my father-in-law's his service and his burial. There was no wondering. We know. We know exactly where he's at. One of the things you can do is gather your kids together and say, look, I just want you to know I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Heaven's my eternal home. I was visiting with my older brother one day. He had thanked me for doing a service for someone that he knew. And he was thanking me for it. My older brother hasn't darkened the door of a church for eons. For eons. And I said, well, Mike, I just wanted to do what I could. Wanted to be a blessing to the family. I said, but I got to tell you, it was a little difficult because I never met the guy and I didn't know for sure that he was going to heaven. I said, Mike, I just want to know for sure. Are you going to heaven? And he goes, I know exactly I'm going to heaven. I can tell you exactly when I got saved. And I'm like, woohoo! Hallelujah, man! I can't wait! Hallelujah! I know exactly when I got saved. And he began to tell me all about it, and I walked away. Whew! Man, I'm glad I got that settled. It just brings such peace. And so, you telling your loved ones, first of all, it won't shock them at your funeral. You mean he was saved? He went to church? Oh, you couldn't tell him when he was at home. You couldn't tell him when he's cussing the kids and all those kind of things. Listen, you know, this is why it's so important that we become the servants of righteousness and don't say the servants of sin. This life will soon be over. The choice is up to us. Our second point is going to be this. Why shouldn't we be afraid or fearful of death? Well, Jesus said, Romans 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen? And have the keys of hell and of death. That's Jesus. So death has no more fear over the child of God because death has to obey Him. Has to obey God. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And in that time that He was dead, He went and He got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He holds them in His hands. They have no sway over the child of God because we know who holds those keys. We know that heaven's going to be our eternal home. If you've been bought by the blood of Jesus, there's nothing to fear. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Man, He abolished death. He conquered it on the cross. He paid the sacrifice. He paid for my sins. He paid for your sins. Why? That we might know that heaven's our eternal home. That we might know that we have this free gift from Him. That when we die, we pass from this mortality to immortality and we go to be in His presence. Man, what a great verse. What a great verse. Jesus' blood's greater than our sin debt. I was visiting with one of Cindy's cousins, and he's quite the intellectual guy, and he thinks way out there farther than I think, okay? And he was telling me that this group of people didn't know if they wanted to go to heaven because Hitler might be there. Serious, I'm serious. This group of people said they didn't know if they wanted to go to heaven because Hitler might be there. And he gave this comment to it. He said, the guy that was telling me this, I told him, well, wouldn't that be something to really celebrate in heaven? That Hitler got saved? That all the heartache and the sorrow he brought to the Jewish nation, that one day he came to the point where he realized his sin, He called upon Christ and heaven became his eternal home. So we need to realize that salvation is not for few. It's for all. That all might be saved. That the whole world might know about Jesus. This world needs to hear about Jesus. And all needs to be saved. The worst sinner you can think of still needs Jesus Christ. And still has the opportunity to get saved till they take their final breath. The Bible tells us in James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Man, as a child of God, I'm glad I don't have to worry about that anymore. I'm glad to know that I asked Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I'm glad to know that my sins are forgiven and that the blood of Jesus has covered it all. As children of God, here's one other thing that I just found last night and was thinking about it, I want to share it. As children of God, the evidence that we are not going to die is that we love one another. 1 John 3:11 says, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Okay, child of God, the world's going to hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So there's a litmus test. You claim to be a child of God, then you ought to love those who also claim to be children of God. So I grew up in a family with two brothers. Okay? So I don't understand girls. Okay? I don't understand you. I'm sorry. I've lived with one all these years. I still haven't figured it out. If you do, the book will be so big, you know, and so expensive to buy, you probably can't do it. But anyhow, I do understand guys, okay? I grew up with two and I raised three, okay? So I kind of understand guys. I kind of understand their thinking, all right? So as a brother, it's not always easy to get along, okay? So Zach, why don't you come up here and why don't you bring, thank you. Come on up. No, I want Jay. Come on up.
I thought you were talking about Josh.
Yeah. Josh bigger than all of us. He'll hurt me. I'm scared of that guy. He's my bodyguard. You want to give me any trouble, you got to go through Josh, okay? Right, Josh? Okay, thank you. So let's say that we're all brothers. Okay? You saved? On your way to heaven? You saved and on your way. Okay, we are brothers. Okay? We're all brothers. Okay? We're all saved. We're all on our way to heaven. But let's say that I don't like Zach because he's a little bit taller than me. He's not good looking, but he's a little bit taller. Okay? Let's just say I'm envious of that because I've always been tall one in the room. Now all of a sudden here comes this punk kid and he's taller than me. And I'm like, I don't like him. I don't like him. Well, you know what? You need to get praying that God will help you like him. Right? Yeah. I need to start praying, God, help me not just like him, help me love him. And then there's Jay. This little guy pops on the scene. All of a sudden, he becomes a singer guy. And I'm like, good night. Where's that all come from, man? I don't know. Where's that all come from? And I could easily say, I don't get it. I don't. But instead, God tells me, you need to love him. You need to love him. Well, I don't know if I can love him. Well, then I need to pray more. Because to show that I'm a child of God, I don't know what's breaking up. My battery's going dead. Who knows? As a child of God, I need to love these guys. Not just these guys. I need to even love my sisters who I don't understand. Sorry. It's easy for me to love these guys. Can I just hug on them? And the sisters just need to, yeah, sisters, you hang out together. Go talk to my wife. But we need to love one another. You say, but they're weird. They say the weirdest things. Well, maybe they think you do too. Just love them anyhow. Because you know, right, that we're all going to be in heaven together? I know some of us are banking on, yeah, they're going to get to heaven, they're going to be perfect, I can love them a lot easier then, right? And they're probably banking on the same thing for you. But we are to love them now. Youth group, you ought to love one another. Okay? I worked with young people, so I understand how young people think. I hate to deal with teenage girls. They get the weirdest issues going. And teenage boys need to stay away from teenage girls, or even more issues get going. David's sitting there going, that's right. Amen, brother. Preach that for a while. We're to love one another. You guys know I love you, right? Yeah, I really do. Not just saying that because we're standing here, right? I love you very much. Thank you very much. So we're to love one another. It's not just a command, but it's a sign that we're a child of God. If you go home and you say, I just take that person, I'm not going back to that church. Well, who's the problem with? With you. It's with you. You need to get on your face and say, God, forgive me for feeling that way. Help me to love them. Help me to know. You know, maybe they got some weird thing going on in their life and they're just waiting for someone to love them a little bit and kind of nurture them and kind of maybe be a mentor and a role model and help them come along in life. Here's the third thing. I haven't preached for 3 weeks, so I get to make up all at once, right? I'm not going to be long. Not going to be long, but these are very good. And I've entitled it Precious Promises. Here we go. There's no sting in death. Hallelujah. There's no sting in death. Well, that's what Scripture says. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Here we go. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Ain't that awesome? Yeah, Satan loses. I love it when he loses. I love it, love it, love it. Death is swallowed up in victory. Here it is, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for our sins. He died. Let's make sure we understand that. Amen. He died. He didn't fade. He didn't swoon. He died on the cross. They take him. How do you know he died? Because they were going around breaking the legs of the guys who weren't dead, and they didn't break his. Instead, they took a spear and they put it in his side, and out came forth blood and water. I'm telling you, if you're alive, that's going to tickle. You're going to respond, right? He was dead. D-E-A-D. Why is that a big deal? Because he's going to rise again, and you can only rise again if you're really dead. So he died. They take him from the cross. They bury him for 3 days. I think during that 3 days, he was a busy man. Okay? I think it's during that time he gets the keys to the gates of hell. I think this is the time that hell's enlarged himself. Anyhow, and we can do the semantics on that later. He was dead. He was in the grave. And the Bible says on the third day, he rose again. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where is your victory? You couldn't hold my Savior. Jesus Christ took it all on. He took on death. He took on burial. He took it all on and He came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave, that we as the children of God can then take for ourselves and say, look, I serve a risen Savior. He's in my heart today. I know my sins are paid for. I know that heaven is purified and it's for me. And I know when I die and I leave this life, I step from here and I transition to there. What's it like? I don't know. I never died. It's going to be pretty cool, though. It's going to be pretty cool. I mean, I'm excited, but I'm not really excited. But I'm excited for the day it happens. Because I know that I'm going to leave this body that hurts and aches every morning when I get up. And I'm going to step from here. And I'm going to step for there. And it's going to be like total awesomeness. I've gotten so many more friends this last year that have stepped over that I'm like, I can't wait to get over there. Can't wait to get over there. It's going to be awesome. I don't want to leave all my friends behind. But you're not going to stay either. You may go before me. I still can't wait to get over there. Listen, there is no sting in death. There is only hope. We gathered at my dad's funeral with hope. We stood at a graveside, very cold graveside, and there was hope. A body lowered in the grave, there's hope. A body lies out there in the ground today, but there's hope. Why? Because He is not there. He is up there. Child of God, that's your hope. You don't know Christ as your Savior? You need that hope. You need to know that heaven's your eternal home. Hey, here's one. We will never die. We will never die. John 11:17 says, for when Jesus came, He found that He had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary was still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever Thou shalt ask of God, God will give it Thee. And Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26 says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me, love this, shall never die. Think about that just a minute. What did he say? Whosoever liveth, we're all alive, right? Get this, we're all alive. And believeth in me, you believe in the Lord? Here it is, shall never die. This body is going to collapse and give way one day, but I'm never going to die. I'm going to go be with Him. And Jesus just said, to reiterate it, says, believest thou this? So, child of God, we need to believe this. We're never going to die. Heaven's going to be our eternal home. It's just a transition. It's just moving from one location to another. Remember that our future is as bright as the promises of God. Hallelujah and amen. If you're not saved today, I would just simply say this, you need to get saved. You say, oh, I'm young, I've got my whole life ahead of me. You know what? COVID doesn't care. It'll take you if you're young or if you're old. Oh, well, you know, I want to live, preacher. I want to live. I want to sow my wild oats. I want to have my testimony. So I want to go out and live in the world. And then I'll come back and I'll talk about all the good things that God has done. What if you never get a chance to come back? You know the testimony I'd rather listen to today? Is someone like Alice. Because, well, I was raised in a missionary home. Never went out and partied. Did you, Alice? Never went out drinking.
did you, Alice? Never smoked a cigarette. Never did that. Those are the kind of testimonies I like to hear. Because those of us who have the bad testimonies, we go, man, I wish I could forget all that. But it just kind of hangs on us, right? We always carry that. Till we get to heaven, we'll probably always carry that. But wouldn't it be great to stand up and say, I've always loved God. I grew up in a good home. I never went wayward. I never went drinking and all that kind of garbage. I don't have that past. I was raised in a good, godly home, and my parents showed me about Jesus, and I accepted Christ, and now she's raising a family, and she's showing them the same thing. You don't have to go out and live in the world. Don't have to have that testimony. Sometimes I'm afraid we elevate some of those people a little too much. We need to be thinking about just live a righteous life. Just come to the point as soon as you can, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and begin to live for Him. That's the best testimony you can have. Just live for Him. By the way, you are not going to heaven because I'm your preacher or because of the parents you have. You're only going to heaven if you personally choose Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not because of how you look in the mirror, not because of how much money you have, not because how many times you've been baptized. Only a personal relationship with Jesus. You don't have that personal relationship today. You need to get it today before it's too late. Lord Jesus, we love You and we thank You for our salvation. We thank You that we shall never die, that heaven will be our eternal home, for knowing You and accepting You as our Savior. If there's some here today, they've never accepted You as their Savior. Lord, today is the day that we pray that they would come to that saving knowledge of Jesus. That they wouldn't put it off any longer. That they would put away from being servants of unrighteousness to being servants of righteousness. Fully trusting You and walking with You and becoming that child of God that they ought to be. Help us to not be confused and confounded by the world and the unwisdom that it holds. But help us to turn to Your Word and to draw the wisdom for our lives from it, and to live for You and to put You first in every area of our life. We love You and we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for this time. We pray Your will would be done in this invitation. We ask it in Your blessed and holy name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Brother Chuck's going to lead us in this song. God's spoken to your heart. I'd encourage you to come. If you're to die today, you don't know heaven to be your eternal home. Please come. Let us share with you from the Word of God. Maybe you're here today and you're saved and you just want to thank God for your salvation. It's a good place to do it. It's at the altar. Maybe you want to come pray for somebody. You've been trying to witness to them, went into the Lord. Maybe you just want to come pray that God will give you more boldness to tell others about Jesus. Whatever your need is, would you come? Brother Charles leads us.
My life, my love, I give to Thee, Thou Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then Savior and my God. I now believe Thou dost receive, for Thou hast died that I might live, and now henceforth I trust in Thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God.
Amen. Good to be together today. Brother Potts has our announcement.
Message. Good to be on the winning team, huh?
Amen. All right, couples retreat. Early registration will begin on January the 23rd. That will keep the cost the lowest. After the 23rd, it will continue to go on, but the price will increase. Teens will have cleaning on February the 5th, meet at church at 10:30, and then following cleaning, we'll go to lunch. Brown bag on February 6th, so afternoon service will be at 1:30. And then annual business, church business meeting we'll have on January the 26th. Patch program, we'll be having a patch program at church on Sunday, February the 27th. Brother Hyatt, can you close us in prayer, please? Amen.